Luke chapter 7. I hope you have your Bible. Now, this is a very familiar story. If it's not, I want you to listen to it. It's very heart-touching. And the first time I read this story, it just astounded me. And now, you got to remember, I didn't start reading the Bible until I was 23 years old when I got saved. Luke chapter 7, verse 36. We'll start with verse 36. Thank y'all for coming. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him, weeping. And began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. And when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, he didn't say it out loud, saying, "This man," talking about Jesus, "if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." Boy, I hate it when he says that to me, yeah. Don't you? Woo, when he says that to me, and he said that to me many a times. "I have somewhat to say unto thee," and he saith, "Master, say on." "There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose that he to whom he forgave most." And he said unto him, "Thou hast rightly judged." Amen. We just stopped right there and shouted out. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, "Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss. But this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head, which oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore, I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he saith unto her, thy sins are forgiven." And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? In other words, he doesn't just heal people, he forgives people's sins. And he said to the woman, "Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace." I want you to look at this. Here's what we need to do. We need to see as Jesus sees. Now, the story in a nutshell, this very, very religious Simon had invited Jesus to his house to eat. And of course, the custom was, since they had sandals and everything was so dirty, when you'd go to somebody's house, the owner of the house either had servants or they would wash your feet. Simon didn't do that. Jesus came in, he sat, and there came in a woman, and she had a reputation. And everybody in that room knew her reputation, but Jesus. And she comes behind him with an alabaster box. That's a precious box with precious oil in it. And she anoints his feet with that oil and just rubs it all over his feet to help the aching feet that they had. And then she wiped the stuff off with her hair.
And Simon, he didn't say anything, but he thought like we do a lot of times. He thought, it said within his heart, he thought this. He said, if this man really was a prophet, he'd know who this woman was. He'd stop her from touching him. That's what he thought. And Jesus openly rebuked him and said, Simon, now this is South Carolina English, okay? I know what you're thinking. But let me tell you something. I came in here, you didn't wash my feet. You didn't dry my feet. But this woman has not ceased to take care of me since I came in. She's serving me, Simon. She's serving me. And so Simon saw this sinful woman differently than what Jesus saw. 1 Samuel 16:7 says that man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. Now, he wasn't okay in the way sinful things look or the way sinful people dress, things like that. What he was saying was, God knows the thoughts and the intents of people's hearts. He knows ours. Amen. Don't let that dress thing mess you up, because he looked at some folks, religious folks, and said, thou whited sepulcher. Thou whited sepulcher. He called them hypocrites. He said, you dress real good, but you're full of sin is what you're full of. So here's this woman, and she comes in, and Simon's got a seeing problem that Jesus doesn't have. He saw the worth of this woman's soul. He saw the thoughts and the intents of her heart. Though she had a sinful life, that she was coming to the Savior, and she was showing her respect and her honor and her service to this Savior, which tells me and the Lord that she'd already believed on Him, who He was and what He was doing. Now, Simon's problem was blindness. Ours is too. Sometimes he couldn't see who Jesus was, but Jesus proved to be a prophet by reading Simon's mind. Amen. Sometimes he couldn't see who Simon was. But Simon was a sinner too. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sometimes he couldn't see what Jesus saw, and he didn't see what Jesus saw in this woman, and neither do we. The Apostle Paul, in a later passage, he starts describing sinners, what all they do. And then he finishes off with this, and such were some of you. Now, Jesus didn't see the way Simon did. We need to see like Jesus, not Simon. Amen? There's a couple things that Jesus did see in her. Number one, he saw the worth of her soul. Here's a woman that's worth going to heaven, amen, worth dying over, worth suffering over, worth giving His life so that this woman could be saved and go to heaven. Jesus saw that, but Simon in verse 39 said she's a sinner. He saw no worth in this woman. And by the way, they saw you the same way. They saw me the same way. They called us white trash. They called us sinners. They called us sorry until Jesus came in. Amen? Amen. And then I want you to notice this. Jesus saw the worth of the whole world. He said, what shall it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? Jesus was saying, this woman's soul is worth more than the whole world to me. And it ought to be to us too. What shall it profit? We go to work, we make a living, we have nice stuff, we strive to be good people and have good stuff and take care of our children, our families. But sometimes you get so wrapped up in that stuff, you forget to look at other people and think, they're not just a sinner, that's somebody's little girl, that's somebody's baby, that's somebody's son right there. That drug addict's not just a sorry old heroin addict, he's somebody's son. He's worth something that God would save him. God would send His Son for that man. He can be saved. He's worth the Son of God's death on the cross. Amen. I mean, we need to see people the way Jesus did. We get so busy being right, and we ought to be right. If you're saved, you ought to act right. You ought to live right. You ought to talk right, dress right, walk right. They used to say spit white. Some of y'all don't even know what that means. But you ought to be right if you're saved. But don't get so busy being right that you see everybody else is wrong and deserving of hell. Everybody doesn't want to go to hell.
There's a few people every once in a while you run into somebody that says, well, I just don't care. I'll go to hell if that's what I'm going to do, but I don't care. But there's very few people like that. Really deep down in everybody's soul, everybody's heart, they want to go to heaven when they die.
Right, yeah, come on, yeah.
And we need to start seeing people with their worth. They're worth something. They're worth something. Well, I think about my younger brother. He was a year younger than me, Donnie. He's in heaven now. And for over 50 years, Donnie lived a rebellious, wicked life. His nickname was Mummy. He walked around like a dead man, so strung out on drugs. Everybody in town, one time a fellow came to me and said, aren't you afraid of where your mama lives? And she still leaves the front door unlocked and the screen door latched and things like that. Aren't you afraid somebody's going to go in there? I said, why would I be afraid? Mummy lives there. Everybody in town knows him. They're not going to mess with my mama. But then he wandered in my church one day after all those years. He wouldn't even talk to me about Jesus. He walked in one day and sat down. He heard the word of God. He got convicted. Came back later and sat down. And listen, he gave his life to Christ. And he died a Christian. But people looked at him. They thought he wasn't worth anything. They named him Mummy because they thought he wasn't worth anything. He's dead already. Leave him alone. We'll to see the worth of people's soul. She had an eternal soul. But not only that, listen, she had a broken spirit. She wept. And she wiped his feet. She wept and she cried. And here's what she was thinking. Boy, I'm not even worthy to be here. I'm not even worthy to touch this man. I'm not worthy to go to heaven. I'm not worthy to love this fellow. You ever felt that way? Boy, I have. And as she did that, the Lord looked at her, and I think he remembered the scriptures that he wrote himself. In Psalm 34:18, it says, the Lord is nigh unto them of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. I bet he remembered that verse. He inspired it. And he looked down on that woman that everybody else thought she was worthless. And because of her broken heart, and because of her tears, and because of her broken spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ looked down and loved that woman. Now let me tell you something. You're not going to get saved full of pride. You don't deserve to be saved. Well, preacher, I've never drank liquor. All it takes is one sin to go to hell. Well, I'm not a sinner. You just lied. That's a sin right there. Amen? You can't even keep the first commandment. You can't love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your mind, all your spirit, all your might. Sometimes you love you more than you forget about him. You love other things. And you say, well, why would you say that? Because we're born sinners. Wherefore is by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so then death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Talking about this beautiful little baby over here. We had three children. I never had to teach one of them how to lie. It comes natural. You look at that young say, did you do that? Not me. Somebody else did that. They'll lie to you in a heartbeat. You say, no, they won't. You lay them down to bed at night. You think everything's real good. That little old baby, you know, out so innocent, so beautiful. And you lay them down, you walk away, and you go to bed. And just about time you go to sleep. And you think, a rat has got into bed with my baby. And you run in there, and ain't nothing. It goes, you say you're not a sinner. You've been sinning before you could talk. You was a sinner. Amen? Amen. We're not counting all the things you've said and done since you learned how to talk. Amen? You're no better than anybody else. You come to God with that kind of pride, he won't receive you, see. You're going to end up in a devil's hell. That's where pride takes people. Amen? And so Simon looked at her. He said, dirty, rotten sinner. If you knew where she'd been, you wouldn't even let her touch it. They didn't have the guts to say it out loud. Most of us don't either. But he thought it, and the Lord said, I got something to say to you, buddy. Amen. Amen. Here's where I look at it around here. If they show up to church, that would be one problem. Amen. Don't criticize them. If they just show up. I'm just thankful you're here. If you didn't come, I'd have preached my wife and daughter. And I've been preaching since 1981. They know everything I got to say. They're sitting there right now.
They got them numbered. They're sitting right there, right now, thinking about how many times they've heard this kind of stuff. But let me tell you something. He saw the worth of that woman's soul. Boy, we need to see people for what they're worth. Billy, when you was in my Sunday school class, that little short bit of time, you didn't look worth much. And then as you got older, it didn't get no better. Brother Ron, when you was over at Blue Buckle or wherever it was, y'all bunch of rednecks used to fight and drink, you didn't look like you was worth much. But thank God, he saw something in you that crowd didn't see. Belinda, when I found you laying up there in the hospital, you didn't look worth dying. But thank God, he saw something nobody else saw. Brother Billy, when you grew up over on the Mill Hill around all that crowd over there and they called you white trash, they didn't see what God saw. Amen? Brother Danny, when you was in the Marines and so drunk you couldn't stand up and throwing your guts up and fussing and fighting, and those little youngins we got to praying for you as they went to church every Sunday on that bus, the world didn't see what you little babies saw in you.
Come on now,
yeah. We need to see people the way Jesus sees them. Sin, sick souls. Somebody said alcoholism is a sickness. You're right, it's a sin sickness. We need to see it that way. Look, he saw her sacrifice. He saw her sacrifice. Look at verse 37. In verse 37 it says, "And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box." Now those things cost a lot of money. They cost a lot of money. They didn't pass the offering plate and she threw in a dollar or 50 cents. She gave the most expensive thing that she had to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord took note of it. And then look at verse 38. "And stood at his feet behind him weeping and washing his to wash his feet with tears." Now I want you to notice, he noticed that her love and her affection for him was real because she was kissing, not his head, his feet. Boy, people come to church now and make professions of faith. They think they're supposed to be at the top of the pile. I've got news for you. You're going to have to start at his feet. That's where real love for Christ starts, at his feet. And we'll hear stories at camp meetings and preachers, you know, and they'll talk about when they get to heaven, you know, they're going to run and they're going to jump and they're going to sing and all that stuff. No, sir, first 1,000 years, I'm going to be at his feet. I'm going to worship him at his feet. And I'm going to say, thank God, I'm not worthy, but you did it all, and here I am. Amen? Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
You'll start at his feet. You won't start at the top of the heap. You'll start at the bottom when you realize what you are and who he is, and you're not even worthy to be in his presence.
Amen.
Simon wasn't even worthy to be in the room with him. Amen? Now, he also, look at verse 47. In verse 47, "Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." Now he just told the story about the two debtors. He said, Simon, there's a man that loaned money to two people, and he loaned more to one than the other. He loaned a whole lot of money to that one man and a little bit to the other, and said he frankly forgave them both. That means he forgave every bit of it, never remembered again. And he said, now Simon, who's going to love him the most? And Simon said, the one that he forgave the most. And he looked down at that woman and he said, Simon, that's who this is right here. She's got a lot to be forgiven of, and she's been forgiven, so she loves me a lot, unlike you, because you didn't have as much to be forgiven of.
Come on now, yep.
Now some of you need to forgive us, folks that got saved later in life. You need to forgive us. Sometimes we get a little carried away because we've been forgiven of much. Old Bubba Peart stood up one time when he was a young man. He said, preacher, I want to testify, but I don't have a testimony. I think it was him. I might be wrong, but I think it was him. He said, I don't have much to testify about. He said, I've never smoked a cigarette. I've never tasted beer or liquor. I've never even seen drugs. I've never cussed. I grew up in a Christian home. And he got saved when he was a teenager. Let me tell you something. That's a better testimony than these others that God had to drag us in.
Yep,
but also, I want to remind you, God's forgiven us of much. So, you ought to forgive us every once in a while if we wave a little hanky in the air. Amen? Don't let that embarrass you, because it sure don't embarrass us. Amen? Forgive us if every once in a while we want to say, Amen! Forgive us if we want to say, Praise God! Hallelujah! We've been forgiven much. We've got a lot to be thankful for. We love Him a lot because of it. And you'll never understand that. Not that you're less than we are, but because if we've been forgiven much, we've got much thankfulness.
Amen.
We might embarrass you sometimes. But that's okay. When we get to heaven, we're going to embarrass you a whole lot more. And then I want you to notice this. Listen, she loved being forgiven. And look at verse 44. Verse 44. It's 12:05. The Methodists are already saying amen on their last prayer. But you're Baptists, okay? Look at verse 44. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she has washed my feet with tears and wipe them with the hairs of her head. Did you notice that he saw it, the willingness for her to serve? When you first really get born again, I'm going to tell you who wants to serve the most. Those who have been forgiven of the most. Now, a lot of people get saved young, and I'm glad they do. But let me tell you something. If you want somebody to serve the Lord, find your old hardened sinner that's been out there a long time and get them saved. And when you get them saved, they're going to be so thankful. Here's the first thing they'll say when they come to church. What can I do to help?
Amen.
Preacher, what can I do? I don't know how to do anything, but I got to do something for the Lord.
Yes.
I went to my pastor one time. I hadn't been saved very long. I met him in his office, and I said, Pastor, I just feel like I'm missing something. I feel like I'm coming up short or something. I want to do something for the Lord. I said, can I clean the bathrooms? He said, no, we got somebody to do that. I said, can I cut the grass? He said, no, we got somebody to do that. I said, can I clean the auditorium? No, we pay somebody to do that. I said, what can I do? He said, you can go with me visiting. I've been visiting ever since. Hey, when you get saved, God notices that you want to serve the Lord. Amen? And you ought to be willing. I get up here and I try to get people to do things. And what's that old saying? It's like pulling hen's teeth. Have you ever seen any hen's teeth? It's so small you can't see them. I'm not sure they got them. That may be a line. I don't know it. I'm a city boy. What that means is if you can find them, you can pull them. And it's almost the same way with servants in the work of God. They're few and far between. And they're hard to find. And I coax and I beg. And sometimes I embarrass to get people to serve the Lord. But every once in a while, some old sinner that's been forgiven of much will come in. You know what, Brother Billy? You ain't got to beg them. They want to serve the Lord. They don't know what to do. They'll do anything. They don't know what to do. But thank God, where much is forgiven, much is inspired too. Amen? And then I want you to notice one other thing. In verse 38, look at it. In verse 38, and stood at his feet behind him weeping. Simon didn't notice. She hath withdrawn herself from sin and sinful situations and put herself in the presence of Jesus Christ. Did you not notice that? Yes, she was a wicked sinner. Simon testified to that, but she wasn't with that crowd anymore. They They wasn't having dinner on the grounds. She came anyway. They wasn't giving away prizes to the most that came to Sunday, whoever brought most Sunday school. She came anyway. They weren't recognizing people or giving people applause or some kind of recognition, and she came anyway. She separated herself from sin and the world in order to be in the presence of Jesus Christ because she saw something better in Him than she saw out there.
Amen.
Is that not why we came, Brother Ben?
Yes, thank you.
Well, we saw something better in Him. We saw hope. We saw help. We saw heaven in Him, and we left the world and came to Him. Boy, before I got saved, I think I had hardly ever heard the gospel. I'd hardly ever been in church in my life. And that little old girl, Terry's friend, invited us to church. And I went down there, and that big old preacher, and he stood up there, and he said, God loves you just like you are, and God wants to save you, and God wants to take you to heaven. Please don't go to hell. Please don't go to hell. And with tears in his eyes, and he wept. And Brother Billy, I saw something I'd never seen before. I'd seen there was a possibility of forgiveness. There's a possibility that I didn't have to be a failure, that God would take care of me, and I could go to heaven in spite of all my past. I didn't know I didn't know about the future. And so I separated myself that day, and me and my wife and little babies, little children. We had two then. We went to church that Sunday, and we separated ourselves from this old filthy world for about an hour, and I saw something in Jesus I'd never seen, Brother Billy. I saw hope. I'd like to say I got saved that day. I didn't. I wanted to, but I was a coward. I wasn't like this woman. I knew I should. The Holy Spirit was telling me the whole time, Brother Jack. You was there. He's telling you the truth. Go down there. He's talking to you. He's talking to you, Ron. He's talking to you. God loves you. He wants to save you. I didn't go. Months later, maybe a year went back. Sounded like the same sermon. Man didn't have but one sermon. It was all about me. You remember that? Some of y'all might be hearing that today. Oh, hard. He's talking to you. Ron, has a chance. Ron, there's hope. Ron. You don't have to be like the rest of them, Ron. I didn't go. Months later, maybe years later, I can't remember. By then, I was 23. Went to that church. Same sermon. Same songs. Same preacher. Same Holy Spirit. Same heart.
Thank you, Lord.
I couldn't breathe. Lord, if I ever get out of here, I ain't never getting back in this again. I was crying. Why am I crying? I'm a man. I don't cry. Why am I crying? And the Holy Spirit said, because He's talking to you. I want to lift that burden. I want those weights off. I want to help you. He's talking to you. Come on. First real prayer I've prayed in my life. Lord, if you help me move this foot. I'm looking at my foot. They was praying. They were singing the 300th verse of Just As I Am. I said, Lord, if you help me move that foot, I'll go down there and I'll do whatever I got to do. And I went down there and that big old preacher got me. I said, preacher, I got to get saved. And I'll never forget, he said, he desires to save you. Thank God that day I withdrew from sin and went to the Savior. I withdrew, and that's what this woman did. She left it all. Simon didn't see that. All he saw was a sinner. He didn't realize she'd separate from that stuff and ran to the Savior and fell at His feet. And that day I fell at His feet, Brother Ben. And Brother Ron, I fell at His feet. And ever since then, He has separated me from sin. That doesn't mean I'm sinless, but it means He keeps me. When I fall into it, He drags me back out. He takes care of me. Now, Simon didn't see that. She had remorse. She'd failed. Who hadn't?
finally she fell at the right place at the feet of Jesus. Now, the question today I want to ask you is, do we really see people around us? Do we really see those people we work with? Somebody going out the door the other day said, they thanked me for a sermon I had preached. And they said, Pastor, I had to quit looking at people at work. He said, just look at me, what I was doing. And I was doing it as unto the Lord. And I started feeling better about myself, my job, because everything I was doing it as unto the Lord. I wasn't looking at that crowd hanging out on the loading dock loafing. I wasn't looking at those guys over halfway doing their job. I was looking at me. And it made me look at them in a different way. And that's what we need to do. See, we need to quit looking at everybody else and turn that finger inward and look at ourselves and realize what He's done for us and how He saved us. And then we'll look at others and we'll see them different. I'm going to go ahead and confess something, y'all. I hate tattoos. I know some of y'all got them, and I'm sorry for you. Wait till you get about 98 like my mama. That eagle's going to look like a dead buzzard. Yeah. That heart's going to look like a teardrop. I hate them. I hate the young people dumb enough to do it to themselves. And by the way, it's wrong. It's wrong. The Bible says not to do it. But I look at people covered with tattoos, and you know who I think about now? And he goes to a different church on Sunday morning. He got saved at that church. That's where he goes. But he comes here on Sunday night and Wednesday night. Some of you know him. And sometimes he'll stand back there at that back door and let you in. And some people have been scared of him. And sometimes at first I wondered, should I even let him do it? You know, he's scared. He's built like a sumo wrestler or something. He's got a big old tattoo of a scorpion from here all the way down through here. Now, you talk to him, he regrets he ever got that. But I shouldn't have seen the tattoo first. I should have seen him. He's been saved by the grace of God. He's been separated from that lifestyle. He don't live like that anymore. And he says if he could afford it, he'd get it taken off. But he can't afford it. And now, here's what I'm trying to say to you. Let's start looking at, stop looking at people's sins and start looking at them as either saved or lost. And if they're lost, we need to look past the sin and see what the Savior could do with that person. Amen. One of the greatest witnesses I ever had is a young man working at Rock Hill Printing and Fishing on continuous die range number 6. I'd made my die. I'd come back downstairs. I sat beside a man, a godly man named Bud Howe. As long as that machine was running, Bud would read his little New Testament. He didn't have to do anything. So he'd read that little New Testament. He didn't hang around with anybody. He didn't talk to people. He didn't hang out in the break room or the bathroom or the smoking booth. He read his Bible every free moment he had. And he looked up at me one day, and we were talking. He was trying to talk to me about going to church. And this is what he said. He looked at me and he said, "Ron, you'd make a good Christian." About the time the Holy Spirit was dealing with me. He couldn't hurt me no bad if he stabbed me in the heart with a knife. Now, I'm not talking about a bad hurt or a good hurt. That convicted me. And I can hear it today. I hear his voice, "Ron." And I told him, I said, "No, bud, you're wrong. You're wrong. You don't know where I come from." He said, "Yeah, but you'd make a good Christian." And that's the way we need to look at people. We need to look at those people and think within our heart and in our soul, there goes a good, that would be a good Christian right there, because where sin did abound, grace did that much more abound. And he that's forgiven much loveth much. And we need to start looking at people that way. And let me tell you something today. If you're lost, you're not saved, and you're in there today, let me tell you something. You'd make a good Christian. God loves you. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And if you die and go to hell, you have to step right over the love of God in Christ Jesus. He wants to save you. And then when He saves you, guess what? All that past is forgotten. I hope you're saved today. If you're not, I'm going to have a preacher. Preacher, stand right here with a Bible right there. if you'll come forward to get saved, he'll take you in a room privately and show you three or four verses and help you pray and ask the Lord to save you. If you are saved and you've been convicted today, maybe you've wandered afar off. You used to be like this woman, but you've gotten worldly again. Maybe you just need to come down here and fall on the altar and say, Lord, I forgot where you brought me from. I'm sorry. I'm starting over today. Let's pray. Father.